Hello, this is Jerry Pippin, and you're listening to part of a CD featuring Keith Blanchard and his group. Keith Blanchard is a spiritual man. He was a musician and an author. The name of the song is See the Light. The name of his book is The Divine Principle. Keith is on the line, and he is going to talk to us about his experiences, interesting things, UFOs, ETs, angels, avatars.
See inside, see the light and more.
Keith, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Jerry. How are you today?
Pretty good. You have some pretty interesting projects going. I'd like to talk to you about it. First of all, if I understand correctly, you're in the middle of a three-part series?
I am. The first part is the book, The Divine Principle, Anchoring Heaven on Earth. I have two companions that are also in the works, and there's probably going to be another sequel or two to follow the first book, The Divine Principle.
I think you weren't in Memphis when you started doing this research. You went to India, is that correct?
That is correct. I used to live in Louisiana, and I moved here some 17 years ago, and I got on a spiritual journey. It started early when I was a kid, but it didn't resurface till later on in life once I finally got settled here in Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the subjects here. I mean, you deal with angels and spiritual energy and astral projection, right?
Yeah.
Psychic awareness, I guess, would be a good way to describe it.
A very good word, yeah.
In addition to that, and we'll get into some of that in a moment, you also delve a little bit into UFOs and alien phenomena.
Yeah, I've had my share of nightly activity, that's for sure.
Well, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, when I was a kid, about the age of 8 or 9 years old, coincidentally, about the same time I began to get on my spiritual journey, becoming an altar boy, but at about 8 or 9 years old, I would always wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning, finding myself in the backyard, pitch black backyard. Now keep in mind, I was like any other kid, you know, had my fears of whatever boogeyman and big dogs you might find in the backyard at that time of night. And I would always find myself at 3 or 4 in the morning plopping up this cinder block so I can stand on it to be tall enough to get back in my bedroom. And I was unaware of why I was doing this.
So literally you went out in a dream state or a sleep state?
Yeah, and I was not aware this was happening. And I would find myself in the backyard always wanting to get back in my bedroom.
That's when you would become aware of what was happening.
Well, I remember the scenario of always coming back in the room, but the lost time I didn't remember till some years later in my late 20s, my early 30s.
And what was that about, the lost time?
The lost time, well, in about the age of 29 to 31, I slowly but surely started having a recall process, a total recall. And sometimes this remembering, if you will, would come in very strong impressions and glimpses, and over a period there were also times that it would come in a slower nature. And I started to become aware of the fact that I would have these meetings, if you will, with beings from other places, be it angelic in nature or extraterrestrial in nature. And it was an unfoldment and process that I realized over time this was an agreement that I made with such beings as to why I was born, to fulfill a purpose.
Now we'll get into that in a moment, but you mentioned angelic beings and extraterrestrials, I think, as if they're two different groups. Is that right?
Yes and no. Angelic beings and aliens are similar. There's really not much difference between them, except angels basically have no bodies unless they want them, and aliens have bodies unless they don't. But for the most part, the extraterrestrials that come to Earth or had come to Earth have come to help us in with a transition to the next level. But, you know, things are sort of the same with all beings. Wherever you go, there are just good and bad people everywhere.
We're talking with Keith Blanchard here. And the name of the book that's out right now is The Divine Principle, is that right?
That is correct.
And I know you've had some write-ups there in one of my favorite papers, the Memphis paper, the Commercial Appeal, I think is what it's called. And you've done lots of local interviews there and around the country as well, so a lot of people probably are familiar with you a little bit. But I had not realized until I looked at your bio. And I should have. I mean, you're in Memphis. You're a musician and an audio engineer.
Yeah, that's quite a major thing going on in Memphis with music. A lot of people in Memphis are looking outside of Memphis for musical talent when it's all just located right here in the heart of Memphis. But I'm a busy guy when it comes to music. That's what I do full time.
Yeah. Now, when you do you still do studio engineering?
I do. I have a very nice recording facility in my home, but I also do contract work outside of my home, be it live sound engineering or studio engineering.
Have you done a session or two that we might be familiar with?
No, but you will be shortly with my spiritual group that supports the work of my book called Lavender Soul. We use the Memphis Symphony Orchestra behind the music, which has an enigma-like meditative world feel. And we're starting to turn some heads with this project, so I'm really looking forward to it.
When will that be available?
Well, there are some now, two albums that we have put out. You can check out on the website at lavendersoulmusic.com. But we're actually in the process of recording a third album. And so we're finally starting to get the momentum going and people starting to take notice of this work.
I tell you what we're going to do, if it's okay if you, we're going to play a selection from one of those albums.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You have a favorite? That's always a tough question.
Yeah. See, The Light was the first song of the first album, and it's a really good piece. It pretty much describes the entire project of Lavender Soul, as well as the work that you can find in my book.
Well, it seems to me that you have a mixture of religion, spirituality, New Age thought, plus now a musician.
Yeah.
So you're creative. How do you? That has to keep you busy. I mean, you get a lot of things pulling different ways.
Yeah, and there's a common denominator through them all.
What is the common denominator?
I just do what I love, and it's creating, and it brings me joy. And you know, if the divine that lives in everyone is synonymous with love, I've learned a long time ago that when I do what I love, the spirit that is creative moves through me, and then prosperity is just a natural response of doing those things that I just get a kick out of. And it's music and it's writing, be it literature or books or spiritual books, but also writing and composing music, be it with Lavender Soul or any other project that I may be needed for.
Well, now you know, you went on this sojourn to India to find your guru.
Yeah.
Did you?
I did. I sought him out. He lives in a very remote place in South India. And once I found him, I was there for 2 weeks. And the experience I had, words would only soil what I was fortunate enough to experience while I was on this pilgrimage.
Hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about how you found him, how you seeked him out? Had you heard about him, or who are we talking about exactly?
The person that I'm speaking of is an avatar, which translates to divine descent, by the name of Sathya Sai Baba. And I first came across him teaching a spiritual class some years ago. And once the class was over, a friend of mine noticed me looking at all these pictures on the wall. And he asked me, "What are you looking at?" And I said, "You know, some of these people I recognize, but who are the others?" And he proceeded to go through the list. And then when he got to this one particular person, he began to tell me that this person has the ability to manifest at will. And so, being somewhat new in this spiritual path and intrigued with the idea that someone can create a spontaneity, I was intrigued. So I began to buy every possible book on this person's life I could find. And then I started feeling a presence in my home. and then during sleep states of consciousness, this being would literally come to me and yank me out of my body, astral projection, if you will, and take me to these particular places and begin to instruct me. And he asked me to go to India. And so I had a very profound miracle surrounding his asking. I had a free buddy pass from someone I never met given to me the very next day. So I take off to India and to experience this little man of towering divinity and see him perform miracles, if you will, in front of me.
What sort of miracles are we talking about?
Well, the ability to manifest objects at will out of thin air, gold statues, if you will, or whatever it is that is needed.
You literally saw him do this.
Absolutely. Change the weather. You know, he may manifest a picture for this person. It's all appropriate to gauge towards which person needs what.
What did he do for you?
Manifested ash, spoke to me on a telepathic level, validated this book that I've written by certain gestures with his hand, came to me and told me particular prophetic events that have happened and will happen, and some of them have come to pass, and some of them I do absolutely believe with all conviction will come to pass shortly.
Now this music we talked about that you've released, is that the one that has Bill Marshall on it?
No, Bill Marshall, no, it's not. Bill Marshall is someone I've been working with for 13 years.
Yeah, I have a country music background years ago, and I've heard of his name. I've never met him, and that's the reason I wanted to ask you.
Bill has been in the industry for quite a long time.
Yeah, I think he played all the way back with Hank Williams Jr., if I remember.
Yeah, for the last 23 years, and I'm fortunate to play with a musician of his caliber just about every night of the week.
So where are you guys playing?
We play some local taverns here in Memphis.
Okay.
T.J. Mulligan's, Willie Moffitt's, just...
Let's say at the end of February, do you know where you're going to be?
Yes, in February I will be at... Every Tuesday we play T.J. Mulligan's Cordova. Every Friday... T.J. Mulligan's Quentin Kirby, and every Sunday we do Willie Moffitt's in Bartlett, but we do weddings and private parties.
Okay, so they can plan on seeing you there.
I would hope so. I hope we can get a nice listening audience the size of your listening audience. That would be great.
Well, let's get back now to your book and this quest. I'm sorry to jump back to the music, but I just suddenly remembered that name, the drummer.
Yeah, Bill.
When you were a kid going out at night and seeing the extraterrestrials or the angels, who'd you make this pact with exactly? Or was that made before you got here?
That was made before I was born, actually. It was an agreement I made with these different energies, and that they would show up at different periods in my life, depending on my willingness to be responsive. And sometimes I would slack and it would take years for something to show up that could have happened much sooner. But the agreement was that these beings, angelic and extraterrestrial, would eventually show up in my life to do work on, to manipulate my energetic system so that I would be able to receive so that in my future, I can begin to teach higher levels of consciousness and truth and spirit and talk about some prophetic events that are here as guides for people globally to make changes and shape our reality and the choices that we would like to make to see this planet become a better place to live.
About how old are you?
I'm 42 years old.
You have a new son, correct? Or
brand new little boy. He's 8 months old tomorrow.
So... I must tell you, when I was 42, my kids were grown. you got a big job ahead of you.
I hear that, but I heard it's the toughest job you ever love.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
You know, we talked about earlier, I went to India to seek out the holy man, but to use the word God, if you will, and I did honestly believe in my heart that I've experienced that, but when this little boy was born 8 months ago, I saw God. I mean, I saw innocence, I saw purity, I saw curiosity, I saw absolute potential, belief-free, if you will. I just saw the beauty, and something deep inside of me welled up to the surface, and I exploded. I cried so hard, I cried and snotted all over this little boy, and it's just been truly, if I would have known this was what it was going to be like, I would have had him much sooner.
Now, let's talk a little bit about this book. I get the impression in this book that you have principles and ideas that outline an attitude that I guess for better or worse, the best way to describe it is living in peace with thy fellow brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. The Divine Principle is a book that came to me over many years of spiritual study, but I was in a bad way at some point in my past, and I was in a relationship that went sour.
Well, we've all been in the entertainment business all our life, so we all understand that. It happens to all of us.
The best and the worst.
Yeah.
I was in such a dark place that I can only go up from there, and I had a friend tap me on the shoulder and say, Keith, it's obvious to me your life is in such shambles, you don't know what peace looks like, and I agreed. And then I began to verbalize this prayer out loud, I need to hear your voice, meaning God. And I did this verbal prayer, if you will, for weeks and months, but I don't believe it was the length of time. I think it was the sincerity I had in my very first asking. And then one morning, that became actualized. After a night of playing music, I was awakened by a voice, and the voice was, in my absolute honest experience, it was God, because people have asked me the question, how do you know this was God you were talking to? Well, the question's kind of silly, because how can you not know when you're standing in such a presence of divinity? I was surrounded with light, the voice, if you will. I did not only hear it, I tasted it, I saw it, I felt it. It was in every place imaginable in my immediate proximity. I mean, I was aware of the molecules in the wall across the room in that purpose. And so this voice begins to instruct me to...
It was a male voice, deep male, deep.
Again, Jerry, it was everything. It wasn't only a linear voice, meaning thoughts that follow.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The voice was very multidimensional. It was an impression that was beyond space and time. But in this impression, in this great idea, was everything it wanted. And so it instructs me to sit on the sofa and let my mouth move, and I asked, what shall I speak about? And the words were very firm. You know, trust me, Keith, the thoughts will come. So I go in the front room, I press record on my tape player, and my mouth begins to move, and out came volumes of the most far-out material I've ever heard, at least to that point. But the book is basically a book about ultimate transformation from individuals to the entire race. It's a book about becoming the active participants so we can insist in unfolding and on a heaven and earth experience. So the book has these techniques and these principles and these meditations, how a person can begin to implement these ideas so they can not only see the changes that will happen within themselves, but once things become nicely settled, they can begin to put this into practice in their daily life. And they will absolutely see manifestations of what I'm speaking about in their life immediately.
And these manifestations are spirit lights and things like that, or are they real objects? What are we talking about, though? You mentioned it briefly when you found your guru.
Sure. The manifestations that I'm speaking of, though all these things are possible, seeing higher levels of energy, being open to spirits, or be it ghosts, if you will, aliens or angelic. But the manifestation I'm speaking of is peace, prosperity, people who no longer serve you that are in your immediate energetic field will leave your life. People who you need at a particular moment will miraculously just show up. I've seen this repeatedly happening in my own experience for years.
Is this what the Yano Center of Light is all about?
The Yano Center of Light, yeah. It's basically, I am the Yano Center, and it's my entire lifelong work that emits from me.
Where did you get that term?
It was spoken to me from my higher self, my soul, if you will. Ya, na, va, yana is basically a translation of a spiritual name. Yana is a translation of John, which on a deeper level, my name is John. I have had experiences in a past life of remembering, if you will, John the Baptist energy, meaning John, the one who came before Jesus to announce the coming of a prophet or the Messiah or the Anointed One. I'm not saying that I was John the Baptist in a past life, but I am doing work now that involves that very energy. I am now with the Divine Principle, my book, and it speaks about this towards the end, the return of the one that we know as Jesus. And so I'm kind of taking on that that job, if you will. I mean, I'm doing the very same thing. Throughout my work in interviews and seminars that I do, I am announcing the reappearance of the one that we knew as Jesus.
Have you formed a church?
No.
Okay. Just wondering.
Yeah, and people ask me often, do I consider myself a prophet? No, I don't. A prophet, for me, is a term that is given after the fact. I consider myself someone who had a very bad experience in my life, and that experience transformed me into someone who wants to hear something so great of a higher nature that I, in turn, want to share it with the world so that I can do my part.
Mm-hmm. You talked about this covenant or this agreement made before you even were born here.
Yeah.
And now you have a son. And do you believe he had a previous life, or does everybody have a previous life in your belief system?
Yeah. It is my view, it is from my experience, that energy can never die. It can only be transformed. I have memories of living at a time in the biblical times. Not necessarily that I was surrounded by biblical people, but I have quite a few past life memories. One was in the World War II days. I do absolutely believe, without a doubt, that I was a kamikaze. I have a love for the Orient, the food, martial arts, the architecture, everything about the Orient I'm absolutely fascinated with.
So in other words, you're saying that we're not trapped by the same race, the same religion, the same belief systems when we come back?
No, it's an ongoing experience, and people often ask me, so why do you feel reincarnation is a very real thing? Well, because if I live my entire life experience in this time and don't get to or have not experienced the return of what I have brought forth, I have to be born to experience that. And what that does, it creates an awakening. For example, if I go throughout my life and I kill someone, and I may go to prison, but that doesn't really resolve the energy. It really doesn't teach me the lesson of what I've done. But in another experience, I get to experience the return of that energy, be it being killed. Now I get fully in an integrated, a deeper level.
So basically you're saying what goes around comes around.
Yeah, and you know, we call it different things. In the spiritual movement, they call it karma. In the Bible, they call it reap what you sow. Scientists call it, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. And the table of time is not, it's not limited. It doesn't stop in a particular time zone, because there are absolute realities where time is non-existent.
Keith, hold on a minute. We have to take a commercial break. And we'll come back. I want to talk to you more about talking to dead people. People on the other side. Don't go away. But first, let's pause for this word from Fate magazine. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate magazine.
Fate.
Fate magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown.